KPBS On Demand is supported by the National Conflict Resolution Center. Geopolitics, a divisive election year, and strained budgets are all topics that can create tension in the workplace. NCRC can help workplace leaders navigate polarizing issues with the Culture, Communication, and Conflict Certificate. More at ncrconline.com.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Tuesday, November 25th. ICE is now detaining people at their green card appointments. More on that next, but first, the headlines. After being turned away twice last month, the four Democratic members of San Diego's congressional delegation were finally allowed to inspect a federal detention center yesterday morning. The center is in the basement of downtown's Edward J. Schwartz Federal Courthouse. The representatives say they were following up on reports that more than 100 people were held there at times and that conditions were subpar. After their inspection, they said they only saw three people being detained. They say the facility was clean but stark and cold. Representative Juan Vargas says they talked to one man, a plumber, who says he was arrested while he was working.
He's really disoriented at the moment because he was just arrested. He went to work. He has two children. He had to call his wife and say, hey, I'm arrested.
Vargas says the man began crying after telling the delegation he didn't know what was going to happen to him. The representatives say they'll be back for future oversight visits. This holiday season, there's a new pass that will grant you access into San Diego International Airport without a plane ticket. It's a free electronic pass called a SAN pass. You could get one to say goodbye to someone departing or welcome someone who is arriving at the airport. Those interested can apply for a pass up to 7 days in advance at san.org and search SAN pass. Passes are limited and issued on a first-come, first-served basis. Imagine being around so long that your age can only be roughly estimated. That was the reality for Grandma, a Galapagos tortoise believed to be 141 years old. She passed away late last week with a group of wildlife care specialists at her side. According to the Union Tribune, zoo staff had been closely monitoring an ongoing bone condition related to advanced age and ultimately made the difficult decision to euthanize Grandma. The zoo said she, quote, quietly touched the lives of countless people over nearly a century. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego's Art Power, presenting Ginger Minj's Holiday Spectacular on December 5th and 6th at UC San Diego's Epstein Family Amphitheater. Tickets at artpower.ucsd.edu.
ICE agents in San Diego are arresting people at their green card interviews. Reporter Gustavo Solis says they are mostly parents and spouses of U.S. citizens, people who have jobs, pay taxes, and do not have criminal records.
This year, the Trump administration has been targeting groups of immigrants who, under previous administrations, were not enforcement priorities, from revoking student visas to arresting people in immigration courts. Now, ICE agents are arresting people at their green card appointments.
These are people that have been vetted and that are in a different position than most people.
Tessa Cabrera is an immigration lawyer in San Diego. ICE arrested her client, the father of a U.S. citizen with special needs, on November 12th.
He has U.S. citizen children, specifically a 17-year-old who he's the primary caregiver of, who has autism and really depends on him physically, mentally, emotionally.
Cabrera says that this new tactic is particularly disturbing because these people have already gone through background checks and extensive vetting.
So it really is shocking and horrifying that this is the next level that we're getting to.
In a statement, ICE ignored criticisms about the necessity of these arrests. Instead, the agency said it is committed to enforcing immigration law. Gustavo Solis, KPBS News.
The El Centro Police Department has released new information about a police shooting that took place last month when officers shot and killed 14-year-old Mikey Jimenez of Brawley. Imperial Valley reporter Corey Suzuki says Mikey's family is calling for a law enforcement agency from outside the Imperial Valley to investigate the shooting. And as a warning, this story contains mentions of death and police violence.
No justice, no peace!
It's raining in El Centro on Saturday as family and friends of Mikey Jimenez gather in the parking lot outside Volcano Asian Restaurant on East Main Street, the place where police officers shot and killed Mikey last month. Mikey's family members share happy memories. His sister, Delissa, says he played a lot of Fortnite and loved cooking seafood.
My last memory with my son, it was before he went out the door.
Alma Ureña is Mikey's mother. She says he spent a lot of time with his family. On the night Mikey was killed, they were at home in Brawley, watching a movie on Netflix with his baby brother.
We were just right there playing around, tickling each other, you know, just playing around like a family. And maybe like 30 minutes later, he went out the door to go spend time with his friends. And not even an hour later, he died.
No, just leave the car here. Leave the car here.
Most of what we know about what happened next comes from a highly edited compilation of body camera footage from two officers that was put together by the El Centro Police Department. It was Sunday, October 5th. Mikey had ended up in El Centro. He was behind the wheel of a white Hyundai in the parking lot behind the Volcano restaurant. In their video, El Centro police say their license plate reader surveillance system had flagged the Hyundai as stolen. Here's Deputy Police Chief Renee McNish talking over the video.
Marked police units moved and positioned themselves in the driveway with their red and blue light bar illuminated.
In the edited footage, you can see two police cars pull up outside the restaurant. Three officers block the exit from the parking lot. The white Hyundai comes around the corner and moves towards them.
Get out of the fucking car!
Within seconds, the officers start shooting. Police argue the officers were trying to prevent the car from fleeing. They also say Mikey accelerated towards the exit with two officers in his path. McNish again.
In this still frame image from one of the body-worn camera of the officers, you can see that an El Centro Police Department officer is directly in the path of the vehicle.
Mikey's family and their lawyers see the video differently. They argue Mikey was moving to surrender and was already slowing down when police opened fire. They say officers fired 29 shots at the car. Marcus Bursa is one of the family's attorneys.
A 14-year-old in a panicked state had the wherewithal to make the right choice and turn himself in. And doing so meant that the officers had an easier shot. That is the tragic irony of this shooting. The young man made the right choice, and the officers killed him when he did it.
The El Centro Police Department did not agree to an interview by KPBS's Deadline. Mikey's family is Mexican, making him one of a disproportionate number of Latino people who are seriously injured or killed by police in California. The Imperial County District Attorney's Office is now investigating the shooting and whether to bring criminal charges against the officers. But Mikey's family is calling for a law enforcement agency from outside the Imperial Valley, like the California Attorney General, to do the investigation instead. They say the DA works too closely with police in El Centro to independently investigate the officers' conduct.
It is no secret that all the law enforcement agencies here are not only collaborative partners.
Gilberto Manzanares is an advocate with Valle Imperial Resiste and a former city council member in Calexico, just 11 miles down the road. He says many law enforcement officers have close relationships here.
Remember, we're a small community. All these people not only work with each other, but they live with each other outside of work. You see them in their own private houses. They invite them to their holiday parties and meet their families.
District Attorney George Marquez says the state attorney general's office has already declined to take up the case. He says his office hasn't talked about transferring the investigation to another county. Back outside the restaurant, Alma Ureña says her son might have deserved to face some consequences, but she says she doesn't understand the amount of force officers used.
He deserved to maybe get charges put against him or go to juvie or something like that, but he didn't deserve to die. He just didn't. He was 14 years old. He was a little kid.
If the officers don't face criminal charges, Ureña and her attorneys say they're planning to file a civil lawsuit against the city. In El Centro, Corey Suzuki, KPBS News.
Political analysts and San Diegans have told KPBS over the last year that no one leader, no one institution will rescue American democracy. It's up to the people. If that's the case, what traits make Americans good citizens? Amitha Sharma decided to explore that question and joined Debbie Cruz to talk about it.
So, Amitha, what are some key traits of a good citizen?
Well, the traits, as you can imagine, go way beyond voting and apply to all of us as community members, from natural-born citizens to green card holders to asylum seekers to children, even if we cannot legally vote. The traits include what we learned in elementary school civics, Debbie, mutual respect, resolving differences through compromise and empathy, as well as accepting our differences. Good citizenship for Eleanor Roosevelt meant seeking knowledge, cultivating curiosity and critical thinking, and of course, responsibility. In fact, she quoted her uncle, Theodore Roosevelt, who said, "The blame for bad government does not solely rest with politicians, but also on citizens who are too indifferent to, quote, get better men in office." And finally, Ben Franklin's idea of good citizenship was civic-mindedness, joining groups to promote the common good. It is that notion of public service that San Diego resident Justine Sullivan says is tougher in 2025 because it requires refraining from applying purity tests to one another and requires taking risks for others.
We have to find what unites us across party lines to look for places where there are shared values. So it means engaging and not just keeping our heads down and saying, well, I'm safe now, so I want to hold on to what I have, but being willing to put more on the line because so much is at stake.
And Debbie, for Genevieve Teal, another San Diego resident, good citizenship means political activism and forming strong connections with neighbors. She's homebound because of a disability, so she campaigns for candidates by mailing out postcards on their behalf. She got to know each of her 15 neighbors in her apartment complex after she handed out goodie bags to them during COVID. These days, she shares instruction cards on interacting with ICE.
That just allows people to know who I am as a person and what my values are and that they are safe with me.
Amitha, the founders believed an informed citizenry was essential to democracy, but faith in news outlets is declining, right?
Yes. A recent Pew Research Center survey found just 56% of Americans say they trust national media a lot or somewhat. Also, a poll by the Reuters Institute for the Study of Journalism in January found that just over half of Americans reported getting news from social media and podcasts. 7% accessed news through AI chatbots. Osita Wanevu, author of the new book, The Right of the People, says it is up to Americans themselves to find trustworthy news sources.
Learning how to seek out perspectives that are different from your own. These things I think people know they ought to be doing, but we live in a world where that seems increasingly hard to do. Social media, partisan media on television, and so on. It's really atrophied our capacity to do some of these things. But these are skills that are available for us. They're just kind of lying around.
But Amitha, the American dream, owning a home, getting a college degree, earning a livable wage, is ever more unattainable. How do you convince people who feel left out to be good citizens against this backdrop?
It is a tough sell. Evidence of unaffordability is everywhere. Only 13% of San Diegans can afford a median-priced home of about $1 million. The cost of food, housing, medical care, and childcare continue to go up locally. Wanevu says the antidote is to get more involved, run for office, try to be a founder of a new kind of democracy. UC San Diego political science professor emeritus Sam Popkin advises to also show discernment at the ballot box.
Never believe anybody who says it's easy, and never believe anybody who has the dream without a plan. Ask people, what is the first step and what is the second step?
And again, Debbie, there is more to good citizenship than casting a ballot, but it does bear repeating that about 88 million eligible voters skipped voting altogether in the 2024 presidential election. That is more than voted for either Kamala Harris or Donald Trump.
Amitha, thank you.
Thank you, Debbie.
That was KPBS's Amitha Sharma speaking with ATC anchor Debbie Cruz about the qualities that make a good citizen. Americans are heading into the holidays feeling more stressed than last year. That's according to a new national poll from the American Psychiatric Association. Health reporter Heidi DeMarco looks at what's driving the anxiety.
In anticipation of the travel rush, family gatherings, and credit card bills, some San Diegans are already bracing for a stressful season. Ann Cusack is a psychologist at UC San Diego Health.
The holidays can bring a totally added layer of stress because of the financial strain of the holidays, potentially grief of missing loved ones.
A new national poll from the American Psychiatric Association shows nearly half of adults between the ages of 18 to 35 expect more stress this holiday season.
And so that holiday travel is increasingly expensive and stressful, especially for a group that is more underemployed.
Expected holiday stress has hovered around 30% since 2022. But this year, the number of people surveyed who expect stress around the holidays jumped to 41%. The poll shows two kinds of stress: holiday-specific worries like missing loved ones or affording gifts, and bigger-picture anxiety like the economy and healthcare. Cusack says both are showing up in her sessions, along with political worries. Heidi DeMarco, KPBS News.
San Diegans can expect breezy, warm conditions through Thanksgiving Day. Sebastian Westerink is a meteorologist for the National Weather Service. He says a weak Santa Ana event will start this morning,
with the winds peaking sometime on Wednesday afternoon and then waning off into Thursday. The main impacts that we're going to see are along the mountain passes.
Winds could exceed 40 miles per hour in those areas. The Santa Ana conditions will also bring warmer weather. Temperatures will climb into the high 70s across the region beginning today. Forecasters say wildlife risk is lower because of recent rainfall. That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and subscribing. By doing so, you're supporting public media, and I thank you for that. Have a great day.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the San Diego County Toyota Dealers, presenting a new 2025 Tundra designed to combine performance and comfort with up to 437 horsepower and 10-speed automatic transmission. See your Toyota dealer, the San Diego County Toyota Dealers. We make it easy.